All right, another title match gets made for WrestleMania. The wrong dead guy shows up, and we all get ultimately deleted.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Man, get off my cloud. You don't know me, and you don't know my style. Yeah, once again. Here I am, the Quasto Man. What up, everybody? I'm impressing TK 2 weeks in a row.
Oh, man, I love it.
We're just going to turn the show into her and I every week. And I know a new rap song from the 90s.
Oh, boy.
What's up, y'all? This is the Raw After Show on AfterBuzz TV as we inch closer and closer every single week to WrestleMania in New Orleans. We are with you, Markia McCarty, once again, out on assignment. Make sure you say hello to her. And the boxcar superstar, the hobo, he is actually wrestling tonight, and so he was unable to make it. But don't worry, we got the squad again. All right, Johnny LaQuasta here with you, and you see her every single day on TMZ. What's up, TK Trinidad?
I am very sore.
Yeah.
But I'm alive.
Why?
Ran a marathon.
Oh, you did? That's right. Oh, my God.
26.2 miles.
You're alive.
Barely.
What? How do you feel?
I really didn't want to come in, but then right, I was literally thinking about it because I got off from work early, and I'm like, and then you sent me that text like, oh, it's just going to be us. I'm like, well,
I guess
I'm coming in then.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sore, blisters on my feet.
What was your time?
Like 6 hours and like 6:30, something like
sure,
that.
Sure, you finished, whatever. So when did it start? 8 a.m.?
7 a.m.
So you
had to get
done
there at 4 a.m.
Oh, that's awful. That's gross.
Yeah.
By the time the race starts, you're not even pumped up.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people there and blah, blah, blah. We're short on time. But
I don't care. This is more important. I want to know, you made a marathon. That's something to be proud of.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Did you stay jogging? Or,
well, I didn't realize LA is so hilly, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So the hill parts, I walked up because it was just... It's 26
you got
miles.
To. Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I'd go down. Yeah. So I'd run down the hills, well, not run, jog down and then keep jogging until I hit another hill. So that's essentially went from Dodger Stadium all the way to Santa Monica.
Incredible. And you did it. Yes. If I had a round of applause sound effect right now, I would hit it like 5 times in a row. Very proud of you. Your first marathon in the books.
First and last.
Okay. So you're good. You're like, I don't need
Thanks,
to.
Then.
You scratch that itch.
Scratch. Well, it's for charity. So I'm still collecting money from charity, too. So if you guys want to donate, it's in the byline.
So it was worth it.
It was worth it, for sure.
Way to go.
Yeah.
And make sure you drink a lot of water. Got to stay hydrated. Yeah. And if you need a physical therapist, you know one.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'll talk after.
And I'll rap to you. All right, y'all. Let's get into it. Kurt Angle hits the ring. It says Roman is still suspended, but Brock Lesnar supposedly on his way to the building. Well, Roman Reigns, he didn't get that memo. Yeah, he's ready to go. Full on ring gear. Just shows up through the crowd and says, I don't care that I'm suspended. It doesn't matter. No one's going to stop me. I'm going to sit right here in the ring. Kurt Angle bounces. He sits in the chair. And then 3 very convincing U.S. Marshals show up. And they handcuff him. It doesn't matter. Roman still just starts throwing elbows like he's Charles Barkley grabbing a rebound. And just knocks them all out.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the setup, but I wasn't. It's like, yeah.
Well, speaking of setup, yeah. So he's got the handcuffs. He's standing strong. Mm-hmm. Then Brock Lesnar's music hits. Brock Lesnar wastes no time. He bolts to the ring and just German suplexes Reigns a whole bunch. I'd say about 15 chair shots. And then finally an F5. And I got to tell you, if they are doing that for everyone cheering Lesnar that they have been doing for quite some time, they are doing such an incredible job of turning Lesnar into this awful just piece of garbage human being and getting people on Roman's side.
Yeah, the fact that Roman was still handcuffed, that was kind of like the difference that made you feel empathetic. It's like, okay, you guys are both wrestlers. You know, if you're going to come and destroy someone, at least, you know, have a fair advantage on both sides.
I thought it was so well done. I mean, people are cheering for Reigns.
Yeah, which they've been kind of off and on for the last couple of years, too. So some people are like for him, and then some people are just not feeling him. But he's starting to get a personality now. Which I kind of like, too. So we'll see how it goes.
What's surprising to me is, technically we did see Reigns Lesnar a couple years ago, and then Rollins cashed in. But what we're seeing now, and I didn't think this could happen in a short amount of time like it has, is there's feeling behind it, and there's story behind it. It's not just, the guy that won the Elimination Chamber.
Right.
I care.
So do you think Roman has a legitimate title shot, like not a title shot, but as far as winning the title, because there has been a lot of talk of Brock going into UFC and, you know, kind of going back to that. So, and that will actually provide him, he doesn't need to show up. He only needs to show up when he's scheduled for a fight. So,
I mean,
if he doesn't like people, then that would kind of be his best bet.
I'm starting to wonder if they legit are worried to keep the title on him because he's so unpredictable.
And, you think know what so? I mean? But I don't know. Like, I'm so confused whether, like, I know he doesn't like people, but
sure.
Is it?
He likes money.
He likes money, but is it legitimately like, you know, they tell him when to show up and he shows up? Or is it legitimately like, oh, we want you to show up and he may or may not show up? Like, I'm confused. Like, it's so believable that he may or may not show up. But then it's just kind of like, that's not how, like, life works. Like, you cannot just not show up.
I mean, they're doing a great job of blurring the lines, and obviously it's still not going to get everyone into it. Like, we have a comment in chat roll now saying, it's another sad attempt trying to get Roman over. It's never going to work. He'll get booted out of the Superdome should this match close Mania. I'm going to have to disagree with you slightly on that one. If it does close out Mania, that's a tough position no matter who you are. Unless you're Nakamura, AJ Styles, I think that can close out Mania and everyone's into it.
Right.
But I still think the way they're building this, it's the best case scenario for Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, in my opinion. They're doing this in the best possible light if they want it to go the way they want it to go.
I don't know. I'm not feeling it.
Still.
Like, no. Okay. I mean, like, for the lineup that they have now, I'm almost, even though I know I said it last week, I think Undertaker should stay where he is. But if that were to happen, I would almost rather see Cena and Undertaker to close it up. To see the officially, I mean, there's no official, it's a soap opera, to see it that, like, you know, that will, like, work and what will happen.
I mean, I'm with you on that, but if you're going to choose between three matches, I would say you either have Nakamura, Styles close out, or Cena, Undertaker close out.
Yeah.
Both of those, I would take that over Reigns and Lesnar. Now, I think that's going to be a fun match, but man, imagine if they don't have the pressure of closing out and you throw them, like, maybe fourth or fifth to last. All of a sudden, bam, everyone gets picked up. Oh, we still got more WrestleMania to go, and that match is done.
Now, is it going to be, because I think I remember it was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, the women were supposed to wrestle and they didn't get to wrestle because some matches took a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Is that going to be, do you think that's still going to be a possibility for some matches where, you know, they're supposed to happen, but they're not going to happen because one match took a little bit longer than the other? Or is every match going to be legitimate, this is the time?
I mean, so far, there aren't a ton of matches that have been made. I mean, I remember the last WrestleMania in New Orleans, there were only 8 matches, and Daniel Bryan was in 2 of them. And I thought that was, like, a perfect length. Every match really meant something, for the most part. There was the 6-man tag where the New Age Outlaws got destroyed by the Shield. But besides that, it all made sense to me.
Right.
And the women, unfortunately, had to do that crazy scramble match, which they did what they could.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think they're going to try and keep the matches down to a minimum to where it's not like a 12 or 13 card match, because I think that does get to be an awful lot.
Yeah.
Because the entrances take a while. I think you want to keep the matches. Throw some on the pre-show, sure. But I think you really want to keep the matches to like the meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
That way people have time and you're not trying to scramble and get all the matches in there.
Yeah, so, I agree.
And then again, who knows? The mixed tag could close with Ronda. We have no idea what's going to close.
With Ronda and The Rock?
Their idea? Sure. It could happen. So, I don't know. Either way, Roman Reigns goes in an ambulance. Alexa Bliss hits the ring with Mickey James and says she apologizes about all the things she said about Nia Jax. She apologizes she didn't say them sooner. She got rid of 300 pounds of dead weight off her shoulders. And then, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't... Alexa's amazing. Like, she... And I think why I don't like her and why I like her is after seeing her on Total Divas and how nice she really is. Yeah. Like, you know, if you think somebody's like totally an asshole and you're like, oh, they're an asshole, I can't stand them. But she's playing a character, but that's kind of almost part of her. I don't know if
and
you guys understand
compliment.
What I mean. Yeah. She's amazing. Like, you feel the emotion, and you know they're best friends if you follow their Snapchat and all this other stuff. But you feel the emotion behind it, and you believe her, and you want to hate her. And then the setup for that match between her and Nia is amazing.
Yep.
Now everybody's rooting for Nia, and whereas nobody knew what to do with her for the last couple of months.
It was a fantastic switcheroo, and it's all carried by Alexa Bliss. And so far, Nia's been, you know, a great, I don't want to say addition, but she's been going nuts and responding well. And Alexa and Asuka, fun match, doesn't last that long because Alexa gets locked in the ankle lock. She rolls out, she bounces, Asuka wins via countout, but then Nia Jax hits the ring, just bulldozes Mickey James, and just chases Alexa Bliss all the way to the back. We don't know what happens, and after the commercial break, apparently Alexa lost her, because then she's talking to Kurt Angle. I thought that was a little strange, but...
I think Mickey should jump ship and go on Nia's team. I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be kind of fun to see.
It is just weird that Mickey's totally okay, like the... You know, the elder statesman and, like, the mother and, like, the wise one is okay with Alexa just...
saying all types of...
body shaming.
Sometimes you have to get in where you fit in.
I guess, even though Alexa was making fun of her weight, like, 2 months ago.
Right.
Or not her weight, her
but
age.
She's but she's on the camera every week now.
Mm-hmm.
So...
good point.
Sometimes you have to work with it.
Yeah. But Asuka wins, remains undefeated. And then Kurt Angle, he's ashamed of her. He said, you know... my daughter saw what you had to say. Women across the country saw what you had to say. So I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to make a match at WrestleMania. Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax. Bam!
I'm excited about this.
Raw women's title.
David and Goliath. Mm-hmm. Sorry about this. This is going to be really good.
I agree. I think it's going to be very, very interesting. Alexa's going to have to find a way to get very, very close to winning. Who knows? She may retain. I don't
think so. I hope not. Probably not. But... I hope not, but she's so good on the mic that it would benefit to have her still retain the belts. But I want not, because she's been bulldozing through everybody except for Asuka, of course. And Asuka's leaving to go over to SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a perfect, you know, I think now would be perfect to have the belt. My only concern is after everybody's emotionally invested in Nia now, she gets the belt, and then what's going to happen? Like, are people going to still kind of back Nia, or are they going to move to something else? Or it's like, will she be able to hold the belts on a character level?
So you think both women's titles change hands at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Well, I think if Asuka goes and beats, Asuka's going to go and beat Charlotte. Like, I don't see her losing her streak just yet.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I think Charlotte can take it back from her at some point.
Right.
But you're probably right. It does tell the perfect story.
And then, you know, Asuka's going to lose her streak sometime this year. That's how I'm forecasting.
You would think.
Yeah.
Much like you're forecasting The Rock to be
Ronda
Rousey's partner.
Or he'll be there, just saying.
Whatever. Yeah. But you also say Nia Jax takes it as well.
I would want her to, but I don't know if she's ready. I know she's ready to physically, but I don't know if she's ready to character-wise to hold on and carry the belt, like...
yeah, because, I mean, this has been 75% Alexa.
Right.
Which is okay.
Right. But when you have the belt, you have to be a talker. You have to be able to defend it and all sort of stuff. So she can defend it, but, you know, as far as all the personality, don't necessarily know if she's there yet.
Mm-hmm. Someone's saying in chat roll they have 14 matches lined up for Mania. That sounds like a lot.
It's probably, are you guys including...
the Battle Royals, maybe?
The Battle Royals and pre-WrestleMania?
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
By the way, the Battle Royal name changed.
Yeah, shout out to Gabby Loren. She was actually on Women's Pro Wrestling, and she said that there was a petition, and I totally didn't believe her. I was like...
no, there was.
Well, I knew there was a petition, but I didn't believe it would change. So shout out to everybody who signed the petition, and, you know, for her calling it, they changed it, and, you know...
I think what happened was, you know, it's sad to say, but there's too much overwhelming evidence of a lot of those bad things about Fabulous Moolah.
Mm-hmm.
And look... it's how she got by. It was part of that generation. I don't know. I'm not making any excuses whatsoever.
Right.
I think it was great they changed it. I think it was a mistake calling it that in the first place. Like, no one had a problem with the Mae Young Classic because Mae Young was a sweetheart. But there have been longstanding rumors about Moolah for a long time. And when these women, you know, came out and said something, it's hard to deny their claims.
Right.
And we're in the Time's Up, you know.
Yeah, it's a time. The timing of it was. Perfect for this to happen and then for it to not happen. So.
And changing it was the right decision to do.
See, but they haven't changed it to a name. They just call it the battle, which, I don't think they could put a name on it just
Women's
yet.
WrestleMania Battle Royal, I think, which is fine, whatever.
It's fine, but I kind of, you know, it should have a name, but they can't put a name on it this time around. They probably
and it could have been sponsors involved, who knows?
Yeah.
But either way, it was the right decision, and I applaud all the women who did, you know, stand up to that and said something because... yeah, like I said, if all that stuff is true, you don't want that name on there.
That's
for sure. Braun Strowman says he is forced to get a partner for WrestleMania, even though he'd be better off by himself. The bar comes down. They make fun of him, call themselves the greatest tag team. You got me, Tone. You got me.
I know. I was like, wait, is that my computer? What?
You got me. They call themselves the greatest tag team of all time. And, yeah. And Braun says, well, guess what? I got a match with one of you guys tonight. And that turns into Braun Strowman taking on Cesaro. Doesn't last more than 5-6 minutes. Cesaro goes for the crossbody. Braun catches him in midair. Bam, power slam for the W. So.
This kind of Braun's, this made him very likable. Like when they were like, you know, doing their whole bar stuff and he cut them, you know, he cut the mid sentence. It's kind of funny. And it's like, you know, you're not as scared of him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you're not. I mean, I wasn't going in the ring with him, but, you know, you're not as scared of him. It made him more likable. And then I love the fact that they're dangling that because we still don't know who his partner is.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see next week, and they might dangle that. So, you know, I like that they're kind of stringing us on.
There's only one partner, if you ask me.
Well, there is, but, you know, not until it's confirmed that we really know.
That's true.
You know how WWE does things. They like to change things up.
That's very
what you
true.
Think is going to happen, they go to an opposite direction.
Just when we think we all have the answers, they change the question.
Yeah, there you go.
We get the first glimpse of many tonight for the Matt Hardy compound. Queen Rebecca, King Maxwell, Lord Wolfgang, I didn't know was the youngest child's name.
There you go.
Which is a strong name.
Ryan from Pro Wrestling Sheet, he actually put up on his Twitter, I reposted it, of like the background, behind the scenes of his wife, like, playing the piano to everything that's happening, which is pretty cool. I got to just, like, see it visually. I couldn't get to listen to it because I was doing three things at one time.
Sweet.
But there's some behind-the-scenes footage. I'm supposing it's going to be on WWE.com on their YouTube page. You guys want to check that out if you're interested.
Fantastic.
After seeing all the other stuff.
He tells Senor Benjamin to prepare the battlefield for Annihilation, and we will see him in just a bit. The Revival taking on Titus Worldwide. Revival with the Shadow Machine for the win. Then afterwards, they say they're going to be the first team to ever win the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which means they say they're both going to survive together. At least that would mean something.
And then what? They just...
They carry it with them.
Okay.
I mean, when is the winner of this Battle Royal ever... Ever? I mean, last year it was Mojo.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We haven't seen him in a bit.
Exactly. Maybe he's her. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know Big Show won one year. I don't remember who won the other. So if they win as a tag team, hey, party on. That's something
different.
Yeah, it's something to brag about with. Mm-hmm. Whatever. New member of the Hall of Fame. I'm assuming this is the final entrant. And yes, the world's strongest man. Mark Henry, 22 years with the company.
Wow.
A man of that strength and a man of that size. It's amazing that he's managed to keep himself in such incredible physical condition. I mean, he can still wrestle if he wants to. And, you know, who can forget his fake retirement a couple years ago in that salmon jacket and had everybody crying in the entire arena and then a world's strongest slams John Cena.
I can't. I mean, this edition's great. You think it's the last one? I have a feeling it might be like one more surprise one.
Maybe. And plus, what I like most about Mark Henry, he does so much charity. I got to do a Special Olympics basketball event with him a few years ago where he was like, him and Alicia Fox were the two coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there helping out and stuff like that. And just Mark Henry's just, he's whatever it takes to help people, he'll do it.
Yeah.
And he gets what life is all about. And so I think his speech is going to be incredible, and it's very well deserved, and it's kind of cool that he's just fresh out of really being active.
Right. Yeah, because he just does more like charity stuff than anything else at the moment.
He's an ambassador. Yeah. He's the perfect example of what an ambassador should be, and so congratulations. This makes me want to see the Hall of Fame a lot more.
Yeah.
Who do you think inducts him?
I don't know. I don't know. I still want to see Hulk Hogan induct Billy. Okay, remember his...
Oh, I should know this too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
You guys know in the chat. I can't remember his name, but I kind of want to see Hulk Hogan come and induct him. But Hulk Hogan says he's in talks with WWE, according to TMZ, but WWE hasn't said anything. And that whole stems from Hulk Hogan, you know, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And everybody else has seemed to forgive Hulk Hogan, but WWE is kind of holding on to that. So I kind of wanted to see that happen because that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because everybody who's not necessarily doesn't watch wrestling every week, in and out, they know, they still know who Hulk Hogan is.
Sure.
So, I mean, that's what I want to see as far as that. Somebody's saying The Rock will induct Mark Henry. Which, thank you, Hillbilly Jim.
Oh, yeah, my brain. Right, of course.
That would tie into, but then the thing is, if he does show up to induct Mark Henry, mm-hmm. then that would tie into the fact that he might be there.
Look, if The Rock is showing up, I think it's going to be for Mania, not the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. And but that's not, it would make sense if he did because of their tie together. But if he did, then that would take away from the surprise of him showing up for WrestleMania.
Don't forget, the Nation of Domination themselves could be inducted someday.
Right.
Which, just like DX, you just bring them all back. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? Sasha and Bayley have a conversation in the ring. Sasha says, "What gives? I apologize. My bad. Are you going to keep being a terrible friend?" And Bayley said, "Well, the look on your face at Elimination Chamber when you Mufasa'd me from Lion King, I saw the smile on your face, and I can't get past it."
Oh my God, she needs to get past it. Well, this was too long. This seems like something you would talk about when you're in high school. Like, I get it, but it's just annoying to me.
It just seems
like, you know, either turn heel and just like her and Sasha go at it, mm-hmm. or, you know, make up. But I think what they're trying to do, obviously I have patience issues. I think they're trying to just build it up to, you know, the Sasha Bailey thing. And I think Bailey's going to turn. I hope she does.
I mean, this tag team, wow. Well, they lost tonight, obviously. Yeah. Absolution. I kind of dug the ending. So Bailey gets a backslide on Sonya Deville. Problem is Sasha's putting the boots to Mandy Rose in the corner. Referee gets distracted, late for the count. Bailey gets mad, and then Sonya shoves Bailey into Sasha. Bam, swift kick for the win, so Absolution wins the match. Mm-hmm. So once again, they're on the outside, just kind of looking all dejected. So it's definitely leading to a match. The question is, in what is it the fashion everyone thinks it's going to be, or is it going to be a surprise?
What does everybody think it's going to be?
Everyone thinks it's going to be Sasha being doing her.
Oh.
But the question is, you know, you need a lot more of a dynamic personality to be heel than you do.
You do, but you also need, if you have the right type of, if she were to work on it on a daily basis, right, mm-hmm. and then the right type of coaching and actually attack it from, you know, that point of view, then it's definitely possible. Nobody says you can't. She's already won half the battle. She's on the show. She's in WWE. Mm-hmm. So if she were to do that and make it convince us to it, then that would be awesome to see that and then her go against, and not necessarily like the traditional like heel that sort of way, but enough where she has some balls where it's just like, yeah. You know, I'm not going to let you, you know, run me over where this friendship is over and I'm going to destroy everything that you've dreamt about. Like, if she went it that way, like more aggressive, then I would want to see that. It just seems like, you know, she's still kind of a punk and she doesn't know what to do at the moment.
Right.
And, you know, she's kind of soft, where Sasha's just kind of feel out the situation, trying to, you know, twerk her into a certain way so Bailey gets back into, you know.
And I understand people want the Bailey surprise, like, you know, turn her heel or whatever. But bottom line is, It works much better if Sasha's evil and conniving like she was back in NXT. That's just how that story works better.
Well, we will see.
Yes, we will. John Cena wants an answer from The Undertaker. He says, if you're retired, just tell us and we'll respect you, but not giving an answer is disrespecting. And he wants an answer.
Disrespecting?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like this is one of those scenes where, you know, people are like praying to God, and you're asking for God to answer your prayers, mm-hmm. and like he's not answering because it's something that you want, not necessarily what God wants for you.
Fair enough.
It's kind of one of those things. So I don't know like if he's doing the writing or somebody else doing the writing, but it's kind of very biblical in a little way, and I kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, the answer he gets is that damn demon, Kane. Undertaker's brother hits the ring, does not say a word, chokeslams Cena, and walks away. So if there's one way to not have the Undertaker show up, at least you get another week out of it. Kane shows up, chokeslam Cena. They have a match for next week now, apparently, while Kane's on the campaign trail.
It's pretty nice of him.
So, yeah.
I don't know. I'm still kind of torn. Well, no, I'm more like 80% I don't want to see Undertaker show up. It'd be interesting.
I do.
Because we already talked about this. Like, he's just already done. So, mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see, but I feel like he put his hat in the middle of the ring.
He did, but not the American Badass Undertaker, where Kid Rock is going to be.
True.
So
that would be a different play, yeah.
Exactly. The dead man retired, but not the other one. I'm assuming that's the way it's going to be.
Do you think he'll just show up at WrestleMania? So, like, do you think, like, John Cena every week will be begging for answers?
No, I think he absolutely will show up the Raw before Mania.
Will he show up, or will he do a video show up? Like, you've been calling me out. I'm not. I don't answer to you, so I'm not going to show up.
That's a good
there.
Point.
But you know, there might be a tweet, or there might be something where it's just like you're still not sure it's going to happen. But he's going to do it on his own time, just like God.
Yeah, I would rather save the big entrance for WrestleMania. Clearly.
Yeah.
Now maybe the lights will go out and he'll just show up and bandanas around his forehead. Who knows?
We'll see.
Yes, we shall. Another glimpse of the Matt Hardy compound. He speaks with George Washington, the giraffe, also the first president of the United States.
Also.
Yes. The Miz gets no respect. He's not in the magazines. He's not in the advertisements. No respect. Last week, he exposed Finn Balor and Seth for being liars. He also gets real old school with this. Name drops Tyler Black, and I think he meant to say Prince Devitt, or maybe he meant to be really offensive and called Finn Balor by his old wrong name and called him Prince Nevitt, because that is trending worldwide, so I'm assuming people are enjoying that. And he talked about too sweeting the indie fans, and once again, Miz, fire.
Now, this is another thing. Like, he's so believable. I'm wondering if this is true that, like, he's just, you know, old faithful and WWE tends to forget about him. Because there was a tweet about it a couple of days ago where he was at an event and, you know, I think he was, like, headlining it.
Yeah.
And his picture was nowhere to be seen on any of, like, the pamphlets or stuff like that.
It's very weird.
So I'm wondering, is this something that they're doing and he's catching it and he's calling them on it? Or is this something that it's
almost like The Miz reminds me, and I don't know if this is sports fans in here, but he's kind of like the Manu Ginobili of WWE. Like, Manu Ginobili had such a long, incredible career for the Spurs, led them, you know, helped them win so many titles.
Mm-hmm.
But he kind of was overlooked in the grand scheme of things just because he was just great at what he did. He was very consistent all his career. But when you thought about the Spurs, you always thought Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and like whoever cool little guys they added in.
Right.
Whereas Ginobili was steady and
consistent.
Right. And that's kind of how the Miz, but he's never been injured, knock on wood. He's always been there and he just keeps elevating his game. And also this makes for great story, the fact they're not using him.
Right. So I'm wondering if it's story or whether if there's truth to it.
There's probably a solid amount of both.
I would genuinely be pissed.
Yeah. Oh, he is pissed. He definitely is pissed. Yeah.
So, well, I don't know. But then what it's like, what will you do after that? So that should they continue ignoring him to continue with the story, or should they, you know, push him?
Keep it going. And tonight we get Gallows and Anderson and Finn Balor taking on the Miztourage and Miz. Seth Rollins on commentary. Finn Balor with a schoolboy on Miz for the win. Miztourage attacks. Seth Rollins makes a save. Curb stomp on Miz. And then Rollins and Balor face off. So, you know, this match will be physically incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ton of story behind it. Miz is definitely doing the best he can to make it matter.
Right.
But when it comes down to it, it's still just two guys who necessarily don't have a big story going into WrestleMania. And you put him in with The Miz, and it's going to be great. We'll see what the next few weeks can develop.
I wonder if, because I think Maryse is actually scheduled to have the baby in the next week or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if, I don't know, I wonder if they're going to be traveling. I know it might be too soon, but it might not. I don't know.
Yeah, he might take some time off or something.
I think he might take some time off after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see.
I have a feeling this is the kind of match that kicks things off on Mania.
Yeah. You know? There's nothing, like you're saying, there's nothing kind of super invested into it.
There's not a big story to it. You know, in the past, the ladder match has opened up the WrestleMania show before, which is always just, you know, Daniel Bryan, of course, won that ladder match the one year they did that. I think it was WrestleMania 31, actually, mm-hmm. Which was like right around the last time we saw him in a ring. And so with this, I feel like the match that doesn't have a lot of story, but is going to have a lot of great theatrics and physicality to it, I think that's a match that you kick things off with, and I think this is the way to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. Like any like pay-per-view events, especially something that long, you want to give people time to go to the restroom, get some food. So, you know, there's going to be certain matches where you can go and come back and still kind of pick up the thing, like everything that's kind of going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that to start that off with, and then you need, you know, maybe another one that's going to pop, and then another one that's, you know, like, okay, I can – Mm-hmm. The other restroom don't need to pause.
Anissa Barr says, did anyone see Rhonda come out and Dana interrupts her? What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm like, what? She said it was on YouTube. So
tonight? In Dallas? Dana White shows up? All right, we don't have time, but it was during Ultimate Deletion?
We're confused, yeah.
That is really... Well, I mean, technically, Rhonda did not show up on Raw. They had that long video package.
Yeah, that pack...
Oh, Dana Brooke! Oh, my God, I was thinking Dana White.
That's who I was thinking, too. I was like, oh. Wait, who? Why would Dana White be on... Okay.
Wow. Apparently, the live crowd didn't watch the Ultimate Deletion. That's very strange.
Oh, okay. And so, wait, what happened now?
I guess Dana Brooke interrupted Rhonda, and Rhonda just beat her up.
Oh.
Oh, God, I thought you meant Dana White.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Man. Yeah, right. I was like, oh. But I'm that package with Ronda Rousey, again, like, she, like I said, I met her a few weeks ago, totally, like, sweetheart. However, I feel like she needs to prove herself, and she's in this kind of really weird position where she has the accolades of being Ronda Rousey from UFC.
Sure.
So people want to see her do well, and obviously she does well, then there's more eyes on WWE. Mm-hmm. But it's a new sport. And if she doesn't do well, then everybody's going to, like, you know, essentially turn their back on her.
So it's almost like the reverse CM Punk.
Yeah.
In a way, you know, like, you know, he's got a lot of pressure on him for this second match.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I want her to do well, but it just, it's the setup is this kind of weird. And I don't...
Well,
and did she wrestle at the live event, or was she just talking and then Dana just...
I think she needs... she's obviously getting a lot of work in with Kendrick and wherever she's training, but... she has to be doing as much stuff as possible to get ready.
Yeah, but to do the work is fine, but to do the work in the ring with a lot of eyeballs on you is two different things. So you have something called, like, practice champ. Like,
there's no question.
Yeah, you look amazing, you know, in the ring when two people are watching, but now put eyes and a whole bunch of people on there, and now you're working with somebody else, and it's a little bit different.
It's like an open mic versus a theater.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, and I do think that the mixed tag match is the perfect situation for her because you have Triple H, you have Kurt Angle, even Steph has more experience in the ring. So I think it's a great spot, and I'm excited to see it regardless because we still have a few more weeks to build it up. So we did see the training video of her. We see one more vision of the Matt Hardy compound. Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat, possibly my favorite character. That and Vanguard 1. It's now time for the Ultimate Deletion. Bray shows up, Vanguard 1, and the hologram of Matt's head. Follow the music. They meet in the ring, and just back and forth, Bray grabs a chair. Matt tells Vanguard 1 to initiate. Bam, fireworks, if you recall, way back in the day. The fireworks were, who did they use the fireworks against initially? It was, I want to say it was when him and Jeff were fighting, him and Brother Nero.
Well, I love when Bray's fireworks. Like, what is that? And I'm like... This is fireworks. Like, it's nothing crazy going on, but I don't know. That was kind of a funny
part. It was great,
to me.
Though. Well, in the initial Hardy saga, Matt was actually the heel, and I believe Jeff used fireworks on him.
Mm.
And that is actually where we first saw the dilapidated boat. Matt was running from the fireworks, and in the screams of the fireworks, he goes, "It's a dilapidated boat!" And he hides behind the boat. And that was our first introduction to it, so now I remember. What else happens here? So Matt Hardy, he recreates the Wyatt compound that Randy Orton burned to the ground. That was some really cool vision there.
Mm-hmm.
The land of obsolete men was the graveyard, the Dome of Deletion. Matt has the mower of lawns. He gets on that. Bray crab walks. And then Bray says, "My ultimate deletion is yours." Drags him outside. Matt says, "Skarsgård, it can't end this way." And then Wyatt grabs Vanguard 1, flips it over. It's Senor Benjamin tossing him a globe. And then Senor Benjamin sings, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And next thing you know, twist of fate for the win. Matt gets the pin. Bray's not done yet. Or is he? Matt tosses him in the Lake of Reincarnation. Senor Benjamin goes in to fish out the carcass. Not there.
I mean, he didn't fish it out. He didn't put too much effort
in
it.
He didn't put a lot of effort in
it. He literally just did it in the pool. I mean, I think it's good. It's a good setup. Like, the ending is not what I thought it would have been.
Yeah,
And it's a good setup.
The end.
Right. It's a good setup for you wondering what... Because I was wondering halfway through, is like, are they going to do a to be continued for next week? But this is a great to be continued, but still ending it. You know, putting a nice little pin in it to see what's going to happen either next week or the week to follow. So it's a great, great match.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of chat roll, you know, stuff going on. Is it better than the Impact ones? No, it wasn't. It's a different version. The Impact ones were honestly, pure humor right from the start with crazy theatrics involved. I think this, it's like, it's a little more, this sounds weird, it's a little more on the serious tip, I guess. But it was still very well done. It was well produced. And if this was the final thing, I'd be like, all right, maybe I'm a little disappointed. Right. It ain't the final thing. This was a wonderful appetizer to what will happen next. And Bray got tossed in the lake of reincarnation. And no, I don't think it means we're going to get Husky Harris. I think it means we're going to get some other crazy version of Bray. Maybe we go back to finding out why he became the psychotic person that he is. And it gets even nuts, like even more crazy for WrestleMania. No, this is definitely not the end of it.
So you think that they're going to be doing something in WrestleMania?
Hell yes. And I do think Bray Wyatt needs to come out on top. And I
think
Matt Hardy...
Yeah, because he's been...
Yeah, I think Matt Hardy realizes that. You know, he's not going to be here forever, where Bray Wyatt definitely has a longer trajectory with his career. And big win for Matt, but I think it's only going to lead to crazier stuff. Matt's incredibly creative. Bray is an amazing person to work with. Mm-hmm. I think together... There's plenty more that's on its way. I think you're going to see Matt's family get involved. I think you might see Bray's family get involved somehow. I wasn't disappointed by it by any means. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see the fact that it leaves us not knowing where Bray is.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Makes you invested and interested to see what happens.
Absolutely. So overall, a pretty busy Raw once again leading up to Mania.
Yeah, it was like a lot, but slow, but it was okay this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We got two more Raws.
Is it?
I think. Because today is March 19th. We got March 26th. Yeah, two more Raws.
And then there we are.
And almost all the matches are made. But overall, though, I understand now why they did Ultimate Deletion tonight. Because I do believe there's something planned. That could all be on a screen again at WrestleMania. If it is, great. I'm on board for it.
Yeah, either way, it's gonna be good. Yeah, I was on board with you this like as well. It's like, why are they showing it this week? But I think, like you were saying last week, WWE, they have an ultimate plan that we don't necessarily see, and how they're setting up a lot of the storylines are making you become invested in these characters that you weren't necessarily invested in, you know, 5 weeks ago. So
you're right. And, you know, most of the time WrestleMania is the culmination of long storylines. This year, it's just not happening. There's a lot of storylines that kind of got put together. And so it's still going to be, it's WrestleMania. We're going to love it. It just doesn't have a lot of buildup like WrestleManias of the past.
Yeah.
But either way, the card is going to be a lot of fun. And this is going to be a wonderful, like, palate cleanser to regular matches. This is going to be completely crazy with whatever the Hardys and Bray Wyatt is doing. So... with that said, fun show. TK, put yourself over.
So you can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. You can see me on TMZ, Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. We have a really great guest this week and for the next 3 weeks, actually. I'm really excited about that. Somebody was asking me about Naomi. She is scheduled to come on, but we're saving her for, you know, some stuff coming up. So you'll see that. So definitely check all that out. Also on Xbox 1T360.
Lovely. Let's see. At Jay Quasto on social media, QuastoAlbum.com. Pittsburgh was fun. I survived. I was sick as a dog. I flew red eye with the flu. Yeah.
Oh, so you infected a lot of people on the plane.
No, I just didn't go near anybody. Yeah. Remember last week when I said I was starting
to
go down?
There's no like ventilation. And
I just got up and walked a lot. I was fine.
Some poor person sick because of you.
I had to survive. Well, whoever got me sick, it's their fault. But I'm good now. Let's see. I'm calling CZW's event Saturday, April 7th at WrestleCon. Not quite sure what other shows yet. And as far as stand-up, I can't think of anything right now, but just go to jlocomedy.com.
You said jlocomedy?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Just checking.
Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.